All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Oh, I got a live one here.
This is Geek Stuff. I am Big Kev.
And I am Matt Cipolletti.
And we are proud and honored that you have decided to download our inaugural version of Geek Stuff.
Yeah, you know, this is a new venture for me and Kev. We've been kind of working together on a couple other projects through the years.
It's true.
And, you know, this is just the next step. And
do you remember how you got started in all of this crap?
When I was a kid, Star Wars collecting, you know, when I was a wee Matt, I had Star Wars and He-Man figures.
When you were but a small geek.
Yeah, right. I'm a much bigger geek now. So,
yes, you are.
And it just progressed into an obsession, like crack.
It is a lot like crack. It's kind of the same thing. I developed an interest, obviously, as a child in toys, and I never really seemed to get away from it. It turned into more of an industry kind of exploration of the toy industry. Why are they choosing to make these toys?
Right.
Why are they choosing to produce this character versus this character, and so on and so forth? Yeah, I know why you're laughing.
Because we
have so many discussions about this garbage that it almost seems silly that we're saying it again.
It's true.
But that's what it went for me. But then it's, you know, deep exploration into why is a lot about what I'm about. So toys, comics, all manner of geek materials. If you know me, you know that there are only a few obsessions in my life, and most of them are...
Plastic, with
plastic.
Articulation.
Yes, with other plastic within would be the other one. And... brightly colored paper, usually featuring stories about men in very, very tight tights.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a problem.
Yeah, I'd say.
But we are coming to you. We are coming to you weekly. And this being our first, we figured it would probably be a good idea to explain to you where we're coming from, where we have come from, where we plan on going. First off, I should tell you, you're going to want to check out www.bigkevsgeekstuff.com.
That would be our home, right?
That would be the home. This podcast, this cast, this thing we are doing has a home, and it's www.bigkevsgeekstuff.com. And when you go there, for those of you that are not going to be listening to this on an iPod, you will be able to go there. And you'll be able to, on a per week basis, there'll be a box where you'll be able to see pictures or whatever we're referencing that we're talking about on the show. You will be able to go to the website. You'll be able to click the links, go to the internet sites that we're talking about, see the pictures of the things, the products, the toys that we're talking about. And anything else associated with what we're talking about, if we feel we can give you a visual reference or an internet reference, you'll be able to find those on the home site.
We're interactive.
Well, we're trying to be interactive.
Right.
For those of you that are listening to this on your iPod, if you have a color iPod, one of the great things about the podcast is that you will be able to see on your screen... you'll be able to see the images of things that we're talking about right on your color iPod screen. I think that's what is that what Mr. Fantastic is indicating to us right now?
I think so.
That
I
is our producer, Mr. Fantastic.
In studio with us.
In studio with studio. Nominal idea. So you will be able to check that out right on your iPod. Pictures. We hope also that we'll be able to give you the website of things that we're talking about in case you're not near a computer at the time. Later on, if you are near a computer, you want to check out a link of something that we're talking about, you'll be able to see what that website is. Hopefully, that will all be. In fact, right with our first cast, I think those things should all be in play.
It should be up and running.
Am I right? Mr. Fantastic giving the thumbs up. So I'm saying probably yeah.
Excellent. Well,
in addition to that, both Matt and I will have our own websites that we are running and have been running for some time. Well, Matt's has. Mine has been sort of, it's coming. Mr. Fantastic, how's my website coming? It's coming okay, right? Yeah? Yeah, I know. So, right, which pretty much means the next time I decide to write something, that's where it'll appear. But we,
you know,
are,
you used to write for me too. That was the theory, at least.
My column, Critical Toys, does appear on Matt's website. That's true. It did. It does have its own home, www.bigkevscriticaltoys. I know you're stunned at the similarities between Big Kev's geek stuff and Big Kev's Critical Toys, but there is this whole name recognition thing, and I'm sure I'm going to get hammered over the fact that I just said that, but that's out there. So it's BigKevsCriticalToys.com, and that site is going to be updated regularly with articles and other newsworthy events that we are and that some that we aren't covering on geek stuff. And Matt, of course.
Right. I've got my own little corner on the internet. It's been up and running now for almost 3 years. And it's it would be Collectible Bits Box is the name of the site. It'd be www.collectiblebitsbox.com.
How are we spelling collectible?
It's CollecTible.
Boy, that was a great night when we got that one.
Yeah.
Collectible.
Yeah. Hey, but it's spelt Ible? Right. I looked it up in the dictionary.
Collect Able. Collect no. Ible.
Ible. Ible.
Ible. It's Ible.
Yes. Yes. And that's like it's updated pretty regularly with, you know,
there's
press releases right. And articles, reviews, news, that kind of stuff.
There's a variety of writers actually writing on that site.
There are.
And, you know, if you want to contribute some sort of geek phenomenon, some sort of geek review, be it movies, TVs, video games, toys. Did I say TVs?
You might have.
Zeniths
and Panasonics.
Because TVs would be really going a little bit outside of the genre that we'll be covering. But if you have anything associated with geek material, we will definitely, or Matt, I should say, definitely would. Matt would definitely be interested in hearing from you.
Yeah, I take submissions all the time, actually. So, you know, people constantly sending me stuff that they want to put up, and I don't edit it at all other than just to get it up online. And, you know, so send it in. You can go to the website, and there's links there to contact me. There's a little form you could fill out, and it's all right there for you. You know, also, I've got a MySpace account for Collectible Bits Box also, where I occasionally blog and post some updates,
oh my
news
God,
reviews,
with,
and stuff
enough,
like that.
Enough with so, the self-promotion.
Oh, sorry.
I also have a Collectible Bits Box, the flamethrower.
I do, and the lunchbox. Mr. Fantastic
Mr.
had
Fantastic
asked me
Fantastic
how many friends we have on MySpace. I think we're at under 100 and growing every day. So,
great.
So check it out.
That's awesome. I too have a MySpace, but since I really don't give a shit about anyone being my friend or not, I could care less if you find me on MySpace.
Callous.
Except
fuck.
My page is really cool.
It is. It looks pretty badass.
So if you are, you know, gutsy and really interested, you could try to find me on MySpace. That'll be fun for you. Other than that, what do you have? Do you have anything special coming up? I know we have the duel. Maybe we take a second and talk about that. The duel thing. Matt and I are working on a project together right now. Sideshow Collectibles, which a name you are going to hear a lot on this program,
definitely,
because if there is a pinnacle of collectability and collectible products out there that you want to be involved in right now, the name you need to know is Sideshow Collectibles, and it's SideshowToy.com.
Yes,
if you want to check out. If you want to check out who they are and what they're doing. But we're going to get more into that later. But right now, one of the projects that Matt and I are working on collectively is we are designing now a base. Some of their Lord of the Rings figures, two of them actually, the Witch King, who's a great piece. You should be seeing a picture of him right now on your podcast, if that's what you're doing. Otherwise, you want to go to the home site and check him out. He's a fantastic piece, and in conjunction, Sideshow also put out Eowyn, who defeats the Witch King in the third...
Return of the King.
Return of the King, that's it, in the trilogy.
Right.
And they had initially planned, Sideshow had initially planned to produce a base that would accommodate both of these figures, because they're obviously posed to be fighting one another.
Sure.
And they originally had discussed composing a base that you could put both of the pieces on, which would right. look fantastic, because I've had the two pieces. Now, we have both of the two pieces here.
Yeah, sure.
Here in the studio. And they look fantastic together. But the problem is that you can't mount them together. And I don't know why. I'd like to get an answer from Sideshow on this as to why they abandoned the base idea. But... moving past why Sideshow doesn't do something, because they do everything else.
Just about.
We figured Matt and I would take it upon ourselves to show, because sewing would be gay, we'll show Sideshow the error of their ways by us designing and producing a base that these two pieces, these two beautiful, fantastic pieces, can be displayed together on. And we're going to take, obviously, my perspective will appear on my site, and Matt's perspective will appear on Matt's site, and lots of photos and how we did it and how you can do it if it so interests you. Sure. And so I think the first phase of that will probably be coming up in the next week or so.
Yeah, most likely. We got to gather some materials together, and then we're going to start that. What's the scale on those figures?
To be honest with you, I don't know. The Witch King, they're both really... fantastic. But so that's something that you and I are both working on. That's the kind of thing you're gonna catch on my site and Matt's site, so you can look forward to that coming up on both of our sites. Different perspectives, obviously. Matt's gonna write about how difficult I am to work with. I'm gonna write about how, you know, I'm doing everything and Matt's doing nothing,
right?
And that's gonna be the way those go, I think.
Sure.
What is Mr. Fantastic indicating to us?
I think he's telling us we're doing all right on time.
Are we? Okay, good, good, good.
So, what
is it that you want us to take a break here? Is that it?
Celebrate being a geek. Download the Geek Stuff podcast, available every Monday at www.bigkevsgeekstuff.com. Have some ideas to make this podcast even better? Give us a shout at www.bigkevsgeekstuff.com.
And we're back.
Are we now?
On Geek Stuff.
In the studio.
In the studio. The studio. What a joke. High atop the second floor of my house recording this crap. We went to the break talking about a Sideshow, little project that Matt and I are doing with a couple of Sideshow pieces that will appear as columns on our websites, our individual websites, not the home site, mind you. But we want to start talking about, and we are really jacked and excited about talking about Sideshow right out of the gate. We're looking at Sideshow's premium format, which for the uninitiated, their premium format is their large scale. I think they're quarter scale. They're quarter scale.
Yes.
They're quarter scale figures. They've done so many of them by now. They've got it. What, 20?
At least, between all the different licenses they have. Star Trek, Marvel, Star Wars, a couple of their movie licenses. Friday the 13th, Van Helsing.
Freddy versus Jason?
Yeah. Okay, so that they've got a couple licenses. They got a couple new ones coming out, which we'll get to eventually.
That Buffy one.
It is amazing.
Buffy quarter scale is fantastic.
Hot.
She's hot. Anyway, the one we're going to talk about today, however, is the newest one. It's just hitting now, and it doesn't come without a little tiny bit of controversy, because Star Wars fanatics
ravenous.
Are fucking insane. They are nuts. And although being a geek myself and being a bit of an obsessed fan when it comes to other things, I'm not looking at anything particularly here in the studio. But,
of course not.
I can understand where they might find issue, let's say. Now, for me personally, I think it's a lot of hot air, but anyway, let's get into it. Sure. It's the Darth Vader premium format quarter scale figure from Sideshow. You can check that out at sideshow.com for availability and so on and so forth. You can check the home site out to see pictures, and if you're on the iPod, you could see the pictures starting right about now.
There you go.
There you go. There's the first one. And let it play. There'll be a few more as we're talking about different things. The first thing, obviously, that we have to talk about, obviously, is the fact that this is they have chosen to put some LEDs, some lights in this figure, which lights up the saber. It also lights up some of Vader's chest equipment.
His chest plate, his belt lights up, makes it look real pretty-like.
Real pretty. And, of course, the premium format quarter scale figures are what you would call a museum quality replica.
Right.
And they are so exacting with their detail, down to the cloth cape, the decorations, the details.
All the details. I mean, even on Vader in particular, his outfit is padded. Like it would be if it was an actual costume.
Oh,
it is. It's actual fabric. It's kind of like a padded type of feel. It's not just plastic. It's not just sculpted plastic.
Right. Yeah.
When I was putting them together before, I could kind of feel it on the legs there.
And he is humongous. Well, he's got to be what, almost 3 feet tall, not counting the saber.
Foot and a half maybe. 24?
What, Mr. Fantastic?
Mr. Fantastic says 24
inches. You need to shut up and stop distracting me.
We'll get there. Baby steps.
Baby steps. So let's talk a little bit about, obviously the thing is fantastic. It's a thing of beauty, really. When the lights are on and it's set up for you to display, can you get a better, is there a better Star Wars
Vader?
Collectible right out there right now than this?
The only thing that would come slightly close would be the Unleashed figures, but those are
right. The Star Wars Unleashed figures from Hasbro. Well, we're going to get into the shocking demise of those on another episode. It's coming up.
Yeah,
a few weeks on that. You should write that one down, Mr. Fantastic, so we don't forget that Star Wars Unleashed. Why they fucked it up? Getting back to Sideshow Vader. So the controversy comes with the sculpting of Vader's helmet. Now, again, I'm not going to speak for you here, Matt. You can tell me what you think. For me, I don't see it as such a big issue. Although, boy, have I gotten a lot of emails about it.
Well, I don't really think it's that big of an issue either. And to be completely honest with you, I had to study stills from the movie.
Right.
Right next to the figure to really see what all of the chit chat was about. I think it's people being picky personally.
So what we're talking about here is the cut of Vader's helmet on this figure is where the helmet slopes down in front and kind of comes to almost a 45 degree angle where it goes around to the back.
It's kind of where it frames his face.
Where it frames his face. Right. That on the figure doesn't seem to be as cut back off of the face And if you're looking at the pictures right now on your iPod, you can see that we've inserted a still from the movie. And we've also taken some close-up shots of the piece. And you can see what we're talking about, that that cut right there that frames his face is kind of not cut enough on the sideshow piece. Now, at least this is what the diehard, really insane, idiot Star Wars fans are saying. Because they are, I mean, you can step away from the rest of this. If you can't say, all right, you know what, maybe it should have been two more millimeters cut in. If you, I mean, if that's what you're focused on and not on the rest of what's going on with this figure, the lights, the detail, the decoration, the real, like Matt was saying, the real cloth. Right,
the real feel to it. You're completely missing the point of the figure and,
right.
And you're never going to appreciate anything. I mean, as far as Star Wars collectibles go, you know, it really is a beautiful piece and it's a shame to pick on the one little bit. At least that's my opinion.
I think it's one of, if not the, right now, probably the best Star Wars collectible available right now.
Definitely. Hands down, I agree with you.
I mean, you know what? And when Luke came out, their quarter scale premium Luke Skywalker, again, full cloth costume, full leather belt, leather, the entire thing, museum quality replicas is what we're talking about, people. Quarter scale figures, gigantic, 2.5 feet, some of them 2 feet, 2.5 feet. They are fantastic. And when Luke came out and all of his details and the likeness they got of Mark pre-accident Mark Hamill's face, they nailed it. And I said, wow, this is one of the best Star Wars collectibles. And at the time, we were only seeing preliminary shots of Vader, and we were
blown away.
Jacked.
Sure, yeah. And that was before they added all the little bells and whistles to him too, all the electronics and stuff like that. We really didn't know about until fairly recently. So, right.
So I think you would do yourself well. Be you a Star Wars collector, be you a geek in general. If you're looking for a beautiful Star Wars display piece, you're not doing yourself wrong by looking into getting this one. Now,
no.
Whether they're available still from Sideshow or not, that I'm not sure.
I believe that, I know for a fact Luke is sold out.
Right.
I think that Vader might be sold out as well, but that would only be from Sideshow directly.
Right.
There are plenty available elsewhere.
You mean we'll have to have an eBay alert?
eBay alert. eBay alert. eBay alert. You're going to die for that.
I know. I know I'm going to get hammered for that one too. Especially when I actually make up the especially when I have to make up the sound effect for it.
Yeah, right.
Now to cover my own ass from doing whatever this motion is when I covered my hands and I did eBay alert. eBay alert. Well, if in fact they're not available at Sideshow, I would recommend highly, and I think Matt would join me in the recommendation, is that you check out eBay Sideshow form premium format quarter scale Vader, or where else?
Yeah, you can get them at any. You can get them at a lot of your local toy dealers, comic book shops, hobby shops. You know, you can always find them too at conventions. There's got to be conventions all over the country now.
Oh yeah,
and toy conventions, comic book conventions, movie conventions. He really kind of spans all three categories.
Yeah,
and you're bound to find a couple at each convention, I would say. So he's out there and available. Definitely not a problem to get one if you want one.
If you're listening to this podcast, you're a geek. If you're a geek, you have needs. If you're in the tri-state area, those needs can be fulfilled at Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey. For the comic book geek, every Wednesday is New Book Day. For the gaming geek, your full line of gaming needs are there. For the toys and collectible geek, all the PVC you can stand is at Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Visit them online at www.timewarpcomics.com.
Are we back? We're back. We're back, Mr. Fantastic. All right, coming back from our little break there, discussing the premium format Sideshow figures, specifically the Darth Vader figure and the awesomeness that is. We got another little Star Wars topic to talk about, in case you haven't heard about it yet.
What's this, Matt?
It's Hoth2014.com. Have you seen this yet?
Hoth2014.com.
Yeah, it's a gentleman by the name of Shane Igo who's decided to gather a petition to have the Winter Olympics in 2014 hosted on Hoth. You know.
Yeah.
But there's actually something kind of interesting about it. You know, he's going in a positive direction, I guess. He says that his goal is to get more interest in the Winter Olympics in America because, you know, they didn't do that great this time around compared to Desperate Housewives and American Idol and other crap.
Because if the geeks start watching the Olympics, then more people will be watching the Olympics.
When geeks unite?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But needless to say, it looks kind of funny. The website's interesting. It's pretty interactive.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, are you? Excellent.
2014.
Yeah, it's a good interactive flash website. It's got a lot of bits and pieces, suggestions for events like the.
They have events?
Yeah, he suggests some events on there. 2-man snow speeder race. Is it the 2-minute snow speeder race?
Two man snow speeder race.
And The Bihothalon. What is that? That's a race
let me guess. You're probably riding in tauntauns, and then you stop and shoot something. Because that event isn't gay in the regular Olympics. So you know what? Here's what we'll do. We will take it as gay as it normally is, and we will geekify it. That's geekify, by the way, will be on the home... on the home site's glossary section, which we're going to start. The first entry will be Geekify.
There you go.
Because when you take something like the biathlon and you geekify it to become the Bihothalon. Oh, my God. You know, look, here's my position on this. I like the Star Wars movies. I love, obviously, some of the Star Wars movies. I can get behind it. I can even rationalize away, really, why the first three, and what I mean by first three is episodes 1, 2, and 3, maybe, perhaps, were perceived as not as good as the original trilogy, or
maybe
4, 5, and 6. And I can do that. I can get behind that. From a toy perspective, I am a complete army builder.
You mean you don't want bobsled or Luke?
No, I think first of all, if they even think about making a Hoth 2014 action figure of any type.
Hey, look, Hasbro has the license through what? Like 2012 or something insane
ridiculous
now?
Ridiculous like that.
So, you know, they, you know, Hoth, Luke bobsled. You can have a Darth Vader, what's the sport with the brooms?
Oh, no.
Curling. Thank you. Oh, Mr. Fantastic. Saves the day again.
Saving our asses.
Darth Vader curling with his little broom.
Curling.
Sideshow could do a premium format figure.
And it wouldn't be a broom, mind you. It would be some sort of saber where they're actually using the saber to clean the ice. Oh, my God. I'm getting on board of this. We have to stop. I'm not gonna get on board here. I'm gonna tell you exactly where my position is on Star Wars. I am an Imperial Army Builder, and Army Builder will appear on the glossary section of the home site. I'm an Imperial Army Builder, and I have been for quite a while. I think I have an exceptional display of the Imperial Army, and someday when I have somewhere to display it, it will really, really look good.
Well, your collection just won't be complete without a snowtrooper snowboarding around the rest of your little Imperial Army.
Yes, of course the Imperial, and of course the Imperial contingent of Olympic athletes will all march in their glistening white trooper uniforms, and they will all, of course, give the Sieg Heil to Vader, who will be sitting wow. in the stands. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's how ridiculous. You want to go ridiculous? I can go ridiculous. That's where I. You know what? That's where I am on Star Wars. And this, I don't. Who? What's the fella's name?
Shane Igo is his name.
Shane, I hope you're hearing this, buddy. You have way too much time on your hands. I applaud you. Don't get me wrong. I applaud you because you know you are really taking some idea here and you are running with it, my friend. But, dude.
Hey, you know, Lucasfilm, they said it was a very fun site. They're not interested in shutting it down, surprisingly enough.
That's surprising. It must not be making a nickel because, you know, God forbid you put out anything related to Star Wars where George doesn't get his 3 cents.
That's right. George isn't making a penny off of it yet, so they're not interested in...
Neither are they.
Yeah. Well, there's actually nothing on there that's, you know, buying or advertising or anything like that.
And what's the... Is there somewhere where... Now, wait a minute. Now, wait just 1 second.
Uh-oh.
Is there a section on there where you're supposed to send in pictures? Where you're supposed to send in pictures of yourself dressed as a Hoth athlete or a Hoth Olympian?
Oh, God. I don't know. I don't know if I
am
that I saw
am
that.
Am I but. Seeing that correctly? So let's put the word out for all of you guys that have your Stormtrooper uniforms and your other Star Wars, shall we say, regalia. If you can somehow put yourself in an athletic position, and by the way, I'd love to see one of these guys in an athletic position to begin with.
You know, PVC doesn't bend that way.
That's true. It also does not come in 4X. And that's not from personal experience. What's the tab on there that you want to check out to send in your pictures?
It says athletes.
There's an athletes tab. You want to check that out. Oh, yeah, but you ain't got no mic, Mr. Fantastic, so that's all going to be dumped. If you want to send in pictures of yourself in your Star Wars outfit in some sort of athletic position or picture or pose, check out the Athletes tab on the Hoth 2014 website, and you can help build up that file of, wow, that I can't even, what, I, but...
Come on, you know they're lunatics. It's you know, it's the nature of a Star Wars fan. It's the same kind of guys that complain about Vader's helmet being
really,
like a little,
really,
yeah.
When are you sending your picture?
I haven't taken it yet,
but you are going.
I'm polishing the PVC. Actually.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Which athlete? Which event will you be participating in? In the 2014 Olympics on Hoth.
You know, I was thinking of the two-man bobsled, because there's nothing like, you know, nuzzling up against another stormtrooper, you know, getting all in there and cozy.
I don't even know how to respond to that. I had no idea that this was going to be that kind of show.
I mean... Wait, what? Can we edit that out? Is it too late?
No. No, Mr. Fantastic. You make sure and leave that in.
Oh, that part has to stay.
That has to stay.
Right.
So, right. Well, I don't know, Matt. Is there anything else to be said about Hoth2014.com?
No. You know, it really kind of speaks for itself, I think. It's
well, you want to go to your internet browser and type in... Well, www.
Actually, there'll be a link to it up on the site,
on
the main site. Sure.
Okay. Check out the home site. Click the link. You'll be brought to Hoth2014.com. You can check out its 6 fantastic little pull-down menus, some fine picture work. It's actually, from a website perspective, it's pretty cute.
It is. It's a nice little flash site. It's got the Olympic music playing in the background. I mean,
check it out. Send in your picture. You know, do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Just don't tell Shane that we sent you.
No, let him.
Let him know?
No, let him know. And let him know what you think of it, too.
I'm sure there's a way to contact him there. And,
oh, there is.
Oh, is there?
Oh, yeah. There's contact.
Then you want to make sure that you tell Shane that you heard it on Geek Stuff and that you had to go immediately and find out how you could help bring the 2014 Olympics, Winter Olympics, to the planet Hoth from Star Wars.
Are you still listening? You got something to say? You got a comment about today's podcast? You got an idea to make this crap better? Visit us at www.bigkevsgeekstuff.com and let us know.
Mr. Fantastic indicates to us that we are now back. And we are going to pick up our discussion of, good God, not of Hoth2014.com.
Oh, come on.
That subject is dead and buried, my friend.
Yeah.
Unless something spectacular happens, like there is a Natalie Portman dead-on lookalike who's somehow in the winter bikini contest on Hoth2014, I don't ever want to hear about it again.
Deal.
I'm done.
Fine.
Let's move on to something that's much more exciting.
Speaking of Natalie Portman.
And that would be the fantastic first week of V for Vendetta in theaters.
$26.1 million, I think it made. Top the box office this week.
$26.1 million?
Yep. And it's opening weekend, 26.1. It was the number one opener.
Wow, that's pretty good for a shit March opening.
Yeah, well, you know, there wasn't a lot of other stuff out there right now. Plus, it's had a lot of really good buzz. And you know, the trailers have looked fantastic. And the publicity on it's been pretty good. And
well, actually, with the controversy, this film was ready to go. Well, depending on who you listen to, one side says that the film was not ready to go back this past summer when the London bombings took place.
Right.
Or the other side of the coin is that the film was ready to go, but due to the sensitive nature of topics in the film having to do with blowing up London, maybe they felt a little pad might be in order.
Well, yeah. I guess we'll never really know, but that's okay because it had a good opening this weekend.
That's so true. I got out and saw it last Thursday night. And I got to tell you, Matt, I know that you haven't seen it yet. I have to tell you, it's fantastic. Now, I haven't read the comic since, I want to say, probably 87, 88.
Well, I think 88, around 88 was when it first hit DC.
Oh, is that when
it hit DC? They first published it. It was around 88, I think.
Oh, okay. Then it would be 88 would be probably the last time that I read it, which is some almost 20 years ago now.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
So the book's been floating around for quite a while.
Yes, definitely. But I just read it last week. And while I'm not an authority on it, certainly, it's great. And I can't wait to see the movie. I think that's definitely in my weekend plans coming up to go check it out.
I think this is probably one of, now, without a refresher, I'm going to say this. And maybe I'll be proven wrong. And, you know, if you're out there and you think that my opinion is bullshit and you have a different opinion, go right to the home site, right to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, and send us your comments. You can send us your comments about anything that we're talking about here on the show. But if you're going to disagree with what I'm going to say about the V-movie right now, write in right away. We'll read your emails right on the show. We don't have a problem with that. We're not going to censor anybody. We're totally open to other people's viewpoints.
Criticism.
And what I'm going to say about V right now, V the film, is that I think it's one of the finest comic book based movies that I have ever seen.
Would you be so bold as to say it's the best?
I don't know. How are we qualifying it as the best? Is it the best because it sticks closest to the original comic, or or is it would it be best because it got it all right, the effects, the look, and everything else? I mean, how are we judging? How is it even, is it even possible to judge what the best is? Because I have to tell you, I am floored by this movie, floored by it. And I have to say also that I was floored by the Hellboy movie when the Hellboy movie came out. I thought that was a fantastic comic adaptation.
Right. And so was Sin City. Sin City was amazing.
Amazing. You know what? No. Then you know what, Matt? I'm gonna go this far. I'm gonna say Sin City is probably the best comic book movie ever made.
Yeah. Having not seen V yet, I'd have to agree with you on Sin City. I think Sin City probably is the best.
And if for no other reason, it simply is a comic book. The film is a comic book that has come to life.
It feels like it. It looks like it. While you're watching it, you really feel like you're watching the pages of the books jump out and come to life.
Although there have been attempts, and we're going to talk about the worst one right now. There have been attempts to make a movie that looked like a comic book come to life. And the most notable and awful would be, obviously, the Hulk movie.
Yes.
The Incredible Hulk.
Ang
Eric
Lee.
Eric Bana, a couple years ago. Ang Lee, who won Best Director this year for Brokeback Mountain, made another little film that was gay called The Incredible Hulk. Yeah. And it was terrible.
Awful. Ang Lee's pacing is very slow. And I think that's what killed that movie. I think his pacing is great for a movie like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Right.
It's very dramatic and laid out, and it's beautiful in that sense, and the storytelling is fantastic. But for an action movie, which Hulk is classified as an action movie.
And should have been.
His pacing was really off. I think it hurt and killed the movie.
I'll tell you what else. That whole panels idea that he had going.
Yes.
It failed. It was so busy and so all over the place, and it's just like, no.
I like the idea. I just don't think that it was handled right. There have been other attempts to use the panels. In a television show, 24 would be a perfect example. There are often times while watching the show, you've got four panels on the screen, and you're seeing snippets of what's going on during the story right there. But Ang Lee just did not handle it well in The Incredible Hulk.
And I think overall, I mean, certainly that hurt the movie.
Definitely. No doubt about it.
Hurt even, you know, the kind of panel work, shall we say, let's say panel work, that was done in Sin City didn't hurt the movie.
No.
But V is straight up action movie based on a graphic novel or comic book.
Okay.
And from what I remember, and I think that I'm going to refresh myself with the book this week, and from what I remember, it seems to me that they've updated for the film. They've updated the story. They've added a few topics that were not really topical in the 80s when the book first came out. And now they've gone back and they've added those topics, or they've updated the story to appeal to a wider audience.
Do you think the updates are to appeal to an American audience? I mean, the book, Alan Moore, I believe was originally published in the UK. I think it was published in the UK a couple years before it was published by DC in the States. So the fact that it's an American movie, I believe so, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So do you think that the updates are to appeal to an American audience?
I don't know. I guess it would. I don't know.
Well, we'll have to see.
We're going to have to. I think you and I are going to have to.
We'll make a pact.
We're going to take. Okay.
I'll go see the movie this week.
Okay. And
you reread the book.
All right.
And next week, we'll come back.
We'll come back and we'll talk about, does V translate from book to film? And how did they handle updating the book to make this fantastic film?
I can't wait to see it. I'm excited.
I am too. But like I said, I mean, let's hop back
a
peg and let's hit on some of these other, you know, ever since, I'm going to say it, even though everyone will disagree with me, ever since Blade, I mean, really, in the modern times anyway.
Right.
Not, you know, not talking about the 70s Superman or the 90s Batman.
Right.
But, it, you know, ever since the success of Blade 1, there has been an influx of comic book movies that have been both incredible in some aspects and others that have been god-awful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I think probably me and you are in the minority using Blade as that launching point. I think a lot of people would choose to use the first X-Men film as a launching point. But I agree with you that Blade really brought Marvel and Marvel movies back into the forefront.
Right. I mean, there. I mean, what was a Marvel movie before Blade?
Dolph Lundgren in The Punisher.
Oh, right. Or Roger Corman's god-awful Fantastic Four movie.
Or Nick Fury starring David Hasselhoff, wasn't it?
That was a TV thing, too, wasn't it?
I don't remember if it was a TV or was it a movie. Or
an awful Captain America film that I don't even think saw the light of day.
Wow.
Is there anything else? I can't even think of it.
Marvel-wise? Not movie.
TV show.
Oh, that's right. Right, Hulk TV show.
Spider-Man TV show. Lots of TV stuff, which was Nicholas Hammond Spider-Man TV show. If you have the means, I highly recommend picking it up for the pure joy in its awfulness. It is terrible. I thought the Hulk TV show was pretty good for what it was.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was entertaining. I mean, you know, I watched it week in and week out as a kid and it was better than the movie.
But I think that, well.
No, I think it was better than the movie.
Yeah, I think so. I say that I don't think before Blade that Marvel had a film, any kind of decent film work at all. And I know I'm probably largely forgetting something right now. And
I can't think of it. If you are, I can't think of it either.
Somebody will write in and go, asshole, what about blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, I'll feel like an idiot. But I don't think so. No. I don't think so. Not before Blade. And then you had such a rapid succession of fantastic movies. I mean, they weren't even... I mean, to say that they did a good job would kind of be underplaying it a lot.
Definitely. Definitely. First X-Men film was fantastic. I remember how great it was to see that trailer and to actually go see it. The character portrayals, Bryan Singer did a great job, I think, with directing that film.
Bryan Benedict Arnold Singer? That Bryan Singer?
That would be the one. But we'll save that. We'll save
it. Oh, we'll get into Bryan Singer.
Old Raising the Dead Bryan Singer.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, X-1 fantastic. Spider-Man 1
amazing. Sam Raimi coming back with a Spider-Man film, who'd have guessed? Fantastic. Well, with one exception.
I mean, when
the
you
green
have,
the Green Power Ranger.
Yeah, exactly. When you have two characters, both of whom have masks that cover their mouths, and you basically have a scene of them having a conversation where their heads are just moving to indicate that they're talking. They're kind of doing that palsy shake thing to indicate that they're talking. Yeah, that's kind of bad. But overall, that movie was fantastic.
Definitely.
I mean, short of the goblin...
Short of the goblin costume design.
And I don't know what you think about this, but I think Willem Dafoe... way scarier with the mask off.
All they had to do was throw maybe a little bit of some sort of prosthetic, maybe to exaggerate it, a little bit of green.
Just get the roller out. Get the roller out. Paint him up green. Put a purple hat on him, and he's ready to go.
He's ready to go.
Ready to go. I don't understand. Look, maybe they'll fix it in the new movie. Maybe they won't. We'll wait and see.
That's next summer. That's new Spider-Man film, right?
Three, I think.
Yeah, it's 2007.
Year. Yeah, because this year we have X3.
Yes. See, now I'm kind of looking forward to X3, with the exception of the fact that they've taken Nightcrawler out, who personally one of my favorite X-Men characters ever. I love Alan Cumming in general, and I thought he was great in the second film. The fact that they've completely nixed him for the third movie boggles the mind. They traded one blue character for the other, I think, is really what it came down to. I think X3 looks pretty good. I'm actually looking forward to it.
I have to say that after the first trailer, after the first trailer for X3, I completely wrote it off, I have to say. Because it just didn't look good. Yeah. To me, it didn't look good. The new trailer, however, for X3 looks really good. So now I'm back in the middle mode here. I'm back in, you know, originally when Bryan Singer, fucking Benedict Arnold Bryan Singer, after doing two films in a series, decides, oh, I'm going to pull out and go raise the dead horse. Yeah. Ooh.
Maybe wow.
That's not really probably a good way to put that.
Wow.
But Mark Singer from The Beastmaster.
Yeah.
Bryan Singer. Decided that he would rather reinvent the Superman franchise than finish the X-Men franchise that he started and perfected in two films. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. And I hate him for it. That's it. There, I've said it. Bryan Singer, I'm sorry. I hate you. I hate you because you're going to ruin two comic book movies this year. And I'm sorry to say this, and maybe I'm going to be wrong. Maybe it's going to be the best film ever made. Superman Returns looks bad. He looks... The storyline is terrible. He looks like
Kevin Smith write it.
Why didn't you just find a way to computer generate Christopher Reeve's face on some guy's body?
Wow.
Because that's what you might as well have done with this Brandon Routh kid. And I can't get behind it at all. I can't get behind the costume change, the muted colors, the story. I can't get behind this picture, not 1%.
I agree. I've never been a huge Superman fan to begin with the exception of a single Superman storyline in the comic books, which would be A Man for All Seasons or Superman for All Seasons. And I'm not impressed by the trailers. I'm not impressed by what I've read. I'm reading all this buzz and all these things that people that are pointing out they think is really great, and I'm just not buying it. I'm not getting behind it.
And I can't. And we're geeks.
It's sacrilege almost. But
I can't. I just can't do it. I saw the trailer in San Diego, or I should say, whatever footage Bryan Singer brought to show us in San Diego.
And
What I said was, wow, looks like nice footage, and I can't wait. I mean, don't get me wrong. Can't wait to see Spacey play Lex Luthor.
Well, there's always something good. You know, something good has to come out of it.
And by taking that job, Singer abandons X3 to... Oh, I don't even want to say his name.
Yeah. I can't even think of
it. I'm not going to even say it. If you liked the Rush Hour movies, if you're a big fan of the Rush Hour movies, then maybe you'll like X3. I don't know.
I think this is one we're going to have to really judge when it comes out. I think because, you know, the trailers look real pretty, but you know how trailers work. They could be showing you everything that's good.
Wait, I've just received a note from Mr. Fantastic. And that's what I think of that note.
Wow.
That's it. Thinks he's going to run the show? You're going to run the show, Fantastic?
You know, technically he does. He does run the show.
He ain't running nothing.
Technically.
I think that's what I hate to say it, but I think V for Vendetta is our last hope for a great comic book movie this year. That's what I think.
Well, we'll have to come back to it next week. I'm going to go see it definitely during the week.
You're definitely going
to
go see it.
I'm definitely going to go see it before we meet again.
You definitely go see it. I am definitely going to blow the dust off my graphic novel, collected V for Vendetta from 1980. And I'm going to read it, and we're going to come back, and we're going to discuss, does V translate from book to film, and does the update do the story justice? Of course, Alan Moore will say no to all of these things because... he's just a bitter 53-year-old curmudgeon who lives in a castle.
Yeah, I think
it's a shame. But that's what being a genius kook gets you, I suppose.
I think the quote that Alan Moore's given time and time again is, he's a comic book writer, not a movie writer. So, we'll see.
I'll tell you what else. V was so good, Matt. I am praying to the gods of film and geekdom and comic bookdom and other dumbs, I am praying that somebody will now make The Watchmen into a movie And if the Watchmen movie is half as good as V for Vendetta, then it's going to blow. It's going to blow people's minds.
Yeah, you know, that's the Watchmen really is a tricky medium, though. It's coveted.
It is considered by many people as the best comic book story ever written.
Many people. I think you'd have a harder time finding someone who disagrees with that.
I think you're right.
Than agrees with it.
Of course, you can go to your local comic book store or geek shop or wherever it is that you pick up your supplies, if you do. If you're new to the game, you want to find a local comic book shop. I'm sure you'll find one around somewhere. You want to pick up a collected copy of V for Vendetta, before or after you see the movie, you should read it. You really should. It's a fine piece of literature, of illustrated literature, and everybody should read it. Also, you may find at that shop, if you don't find it at that shop, you can certainly find it in better bookstores like Barnes & Noble or on Amazon.com, where you can probably also find the comic adaptation. You can find the novelization of the film V for Vendetta. The novelization is by Steve Moore, based on the screenplay written by the Wachowski brothers.
All right.
Which we didn't mention. The Wachowski brothers, writers, creators, directors of the Matrix
series. First film since the Matrix series.
Is that true?
I believe I read some places is that their first...
They wrote this, I don't think... Did they direct this too? No. James McTeague directed it.
They just produced? Is that what it is?
I think they just produced, yeah. The Wachowskis, probably Joel Silver, Grant Hill, probably that group.
Right, right.
Is probably, yeah, that's who's responsible. Thank you, Mr. Fantastic. And you can pick up, I have also read through the film adaptation, which is what we're talking about. And I also want to tell people not to be dissuaded by the fact that Alan Moore also wrote League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're split on this one. Yeah. I think you don't like it, and I think I do, even though the book, the original book that is based on League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Volume 1, the comic book, is, again, probably one of the finest illustrated stories ever written, in my opinion. It's got to be top 20.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't say I didn't like the movie. I did. I found it entertaining. You know, it certainly kept my attention for the full length of the movie. Right. I just thought it was kind of hokey at times. Now, I thought some of the CGI was a little rough at times, especially Mr. Hyde.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not bad. It's definitely worth picking. There's definitely worse comic book movies you could see. You know, Elektra.
Call Elektra. I think we split on that because I think the book is like I said, it's got to be top 20 story-wise. The film, however, although largely panned, I thought had moments. If you just watch scenes where there's no Tom Sawyer.
Okay.
Who is a character that was created and added
just for the movie.
For the film and for an American audience. If you remove those parts and you're watching the other bits and you try really hard to suspend your disbelief, you'll probably do okay with League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I hate to say, because I'm sure someone out there is listening and going, oh, I am fucking writing in and telling him what I think of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Go ahead. Go right to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and write in. Check out the comment section. Send us an email. Tell us what you think. Tell us your opinion about League of Extraordinary Gentlemen or Alan Moore or V for Vendetta or anything else that we've talked about today. And we will respond. We will respond via email. We may respond on the show if we like what you have to say. We may even get you on the phone. We may even Ooh. Have you in, depending on your availability.
In the studio?
In the studio.
Wow.
Right.
Do we have security yet at the studio?
Oh, we're going to get hammered on that one too. So what's that, Mr. Fantastic? You want to take a break before we wrap this up?
Sounds
right,
good.
We'll be right back with more geek stuff right after this.
She came from Greece. She had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that her dad was loaded. I said, in that case, I'll have a rum and Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And in 30 seconds' time, she said, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do. I want to sleep with common people. I want to sleep with common people like you. Well, what else could I do? I said, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you've got no money. She just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah? Well, I can't see anyone else smiling in here.
Are you sure?
You want to live like common people? You want to see whatever common people see? You want to sleep with common people? You want to sleep with common people like me? But she didn't understand.
She just smiled and held my hand. Rent a flat above a shop. Cut your hair and get a job.
Smoke some fags and play some pool. Pretend you never went to school.
But still
you'll never get it right. Cause when you've laid in bed at night watching roaches climb the wall, if you called your dad, he could stop it all, yeah. You'll never live like common people.
You'll never do what common people do.
You'll never fail like common people.
You'll never watch your life slide out of view and dance and drink and screw.
Cause there's nothing else to do.
Don't hurt your arm.
I think I just broke my arm. So, just to reiterate a couple of things, to go through kind of a recap.
Wacky radio voice?
This is Geek Stuff. You can check out the home site. We're calling it the home site. It's www.bigkevsgeekstuff.com. On there, you will be able to click the links and see the pictures and check out the sites and anything else that we're talking about on Geek Stuff, broken down on a weekly basis for your convenience. You can also send your questions, comments, or possible topics that you'd like us to discuss. You can send those there as well to the home site. You can also check out www.sideshowtoy.com. To check out the quarter scale premium format Darth Vader. I think it's one of the best Star Wars collectibles out there. I think if you're a Star Wars fan, you should at the very least investigate getting this fine piece for your display pleasure.
You should go over to Hoth2014.com.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And send, what was his name again? Shane? I think it was Shane.
Whoever.
Send
Geek
him an email.
Too much time on his hands. That's his Native American name.
Oh, yeah?
Geek with too much time on hands.
Dances with Tauntauns. Is that what it is? You can go over there and check out that site and let Shane know what you think about it. Let him know we sent you there if you'd like. And submit some stuff to him.
I just can't say anything else about it.
We're gonna move on to that. Move away from that. Onto our pact.
That's right. The pact is, Matt, you're gonna check out V for Vendetta, the film.
Definitely this weekend.
And I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna read the 1988 or 85, depending whether you're British or not.
If
you're British, it's 85. If you're American, it's 88. I'm gonna reread the comic. We're going to come back next week. We're going to talk about, does V translate from book to film? And does the update do the story justice?
Sounds good.
In the interim, you might want to check out V for Vendetta, the comic, or V for Vendetta, the film adaptation novel.
Or the graphic novel.
Or the graphic novel. Or you might want to check out V for Vendetta, the film. I highly recommend that you do.
And on that note, we cue the music.
A skeleton in a suit and tie.